On this episode of Down Under Colorado, Baldies get their reality check.
Lip dubs attract viewers.
Computer games do teach you things.
Aussies get a center for food innovation.
Art exhibit pushes boundaries of online privacy protection.
Tortuga's shipwreck reveals treasure trove and more on this episode of Down Under Colorado.
Hello everyone and welcome to Down Under Colorado. The show that gets you excited. This is episode 12, recorded April 9th, 2013. My name is Dale Campbell, and I'm joined as always by Doug.
How's it going?
And Zay is over the other side of the room. And why is that showing that?
Because you clicked on it.
Whatever. Technical issues, straight up. All right. How's everyone doing tonight?
I'm breathing.
That is helpful.
Oh no, it's a good thing because breathing is important.
I'm planning for a snow dance to keep any more snow from falling. Until sometime in 2016 or 2017, at this point.
I'm just wishing the wind would die down. Our winds here are 59 to 70 to 67, which is fun, and I think Dale's gone.
Dale,
you're black.
I know I'm black. I'm so racist. I'm trying to fix it. Never mind. Just...
He has been drawn into the Matrix.
Yep.
There we go.
Yeah,
but now there's that thing.
Haven't you guys got that big snow apocalypse or whatever?
Oh, here we were supposed to. We had 10 different storm fronts coming in on us. 10 different types of snow weather advisory crap. And if you look at the picture on my G+ board, it is squat.
Mm.
Let me bring
it's
it up. Let's see. It's a small snowfall. I mean, not even enough to worry about. Yeah. Where is it? I know I posted it. Damn it.
It's the one right above the moving Australia that you put up.
Oh, that was funny.
That was hilarious. That was just
comparison. Yeah, we got almost nothing snow-wise. Here we go. This should be it. Now, Charlie White is a friend of mine up in Denver. He says they didn't get much there either.
Yeah, the blizzard much. Yeah, it doesn't even cover the car park.
And this is in the afternoon, which technically for us would be when the sun comes out and melts all the snow. But it's like 17 degrees out there. So there's no sun, no snow. No melting.
See, up here, it's currently 24, but it's melting from where it's been, you know, places where it's been shoveled or plowed, it's melting. Of course, we've also got more sunlight than either of you right now.
We've got a lot of overhead. Oh, not, yeah, it's 12.
There you go.
Yeah.
This just in, Alaska is officially warmer than Colorado.
Hell hath frozen
just
over.
I am still warmer than both of you.
Duh.
Yeah, well, it's fall down there.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's just, it's all the freak out. They had schools closing. Schools are closed.
Yeah, I saw something yesterday afternoon saying that Denver Public Schools had shut down everything for today.
Yeah. I don't. And there was no confirmation that it was definitely going to be a storm. It was the weather forecasters doing their usual flip of a coin. Oh, we're going to get snow. Flip of a coin. Nope, we're not. Yeah. So.
For those watching the audio stream, I am trying my hardest to get this video to work. It's not cooperating.
Well, that's the way we roll.
Broken.
Yeah, it's.
Hey, if you haven't listened to this show before, I recommend you go back to this episode.
Go back to episode one and see how badly we did.
Yes, and I recommend you go back and listen to the part that says "put the dildos in the mother-in-law" and let me press that part.
Yeah, those are pretty interesting ones.
Yeah, we started at the bottom so we could so the climb to the top was easier.
Yeah, the only way you could go is up.
Exactly. Alrighty. I don't know what's going on with this camera. It's not cooperating at all. Anyway, pushing on. Onwards and upwards, I suppose. Oh, dear. All right. Speaking of going right to the bottom and bad stuff, I don't know. Bad news for baldies. Losing hair before your 50s can almost double the risk of heart attack. Which, I don't know if this is one of these scientific experiments that says, let's throw out a random statistic and see if it sticks.
It could be. I've seen that a lot.
Like, okay, can anyone prove to me that the theory... Okay, having a block of chocolate a day is healthy. Like, is this one of those ones where it's like, let's throw out a random thing and see if they listen?
No. Well, actually, the chocolate thing they found is true. You can have, what, it's an ounce?
Yeah.
Or something like that. It actually helps. But anything more, it's like having one glass of wine a night helps. Yeah, but anything more is just ridiculous. Now, I don't know if the bald thing is true or not, but it does seem that the guys with longer hair, fuller hair, heads of hair, do last longer.
Yeah.
It just could be because you see them more often.
True.
Whereas guys who don't have a lot of hair wear hats and comb overs and things like that.
Yes. This is a huge article for what it is.
Well,
overall, men.
Well, it looks like this.
We're 69% more likely to have coronary. Oh God! Is it gonna be one of these episodes where I just misread everything?
Hold on, what are you trying to
coronary
read?
Artery disease.
Coronary, you know, on. Heart.
Coronary, yeah. Then those with a full head of hair compared with 52% higher risk from a bald spot and 22% of receding hairline alone. I just looked
for,
at this
for me,
and went,
it doesn't run in the family, so... Nate's dad still has a hugely full head of hair. So does Nate and his brother. It's not something that runs in their lines, so it's not something I would have thought to look at. It's a testosterone thing.
True.
More testosterone means less hair.
And they actually based it off a review of 6 separate studies, not just one.
Well, that's good.
Yeah.
And 3 of them actually tracked the men for a minimum of 11 years.
That's a thorough.
Yeah, this isn't like something you might see on Dr. Oz.
Can we all agree that Dr. Oz is a stupid show?
Well, yeah, I get tired of those, any of the doctor shows. One of the comments says, my dad lost most of his hair before he was 30 and he lived in 92. No, good thing nobody told him. I don't know. I can't say one way or another.
It's hard to tell. It's either one of these, you know, some of those fake ones that rise up, or it's like stupid scientific study of the day kind of thing.
I don't know. So a lot of medical studies, just because they use six tests as a subject to watch, doesn't mean they've used all the tests available. I just watched a TED talk about a doctor saying that when you look at the amount of negative tests that are published as opposed to the positive tests for something, you might get 3 negative tests out of the 30 that are published, that are done. 3 of them are published. So the other 20 some odd are gone. You can't find them unless you dig really, really friggin' hard. And out of the positive ones, you might lose 1 or 2. The rest are published, which is horrible. And it has a negative impact on medicine being chosen by doctors.
Yeah. I mean, I think studies of this level actually do cause some conversations like, oh, the things behind the actual conducting of the study itself.
Mm-hmm.
It just seemed interesting to me.
No, it is interesting. I really can't trust any study until they show all the negative studies, all the positive studies, and then they show the conclusions of both. Because just one or the other, as a primary basis for this article, isn't going to fly.
Yeah. Okay. The only alternative I have to fix my cam is to exit out and re-enter. It's going to end the broadcast, isn't it?
Shouldn't.
He originated it, so it will.
Alright, I'm going to duck out because I was going to wait until we were finished talking about it and so we can jump back into where we were. Alright.
Okay.
Alright, I'm going to duck out and duck back in. Yeah, it's going to end the broadcast.
Well, do it fast.
Alright, doing it fast. Okay.
Watching the movements.
Doing it fast.
Oh. See, it worked.
There you go, and we're on there. How's that work?
Because we never dropped.
Oh, okay.
Because it's fast. Because it's not Skype.
We're doing it down under Colorado. Alright, let's move on to Cleveland High School 2013 lip dub attracts thousands of viewers.
This is This is Cleveland High School down in Tennessee, and every year they do one of these videos. What's kind of cool about it, at least in the case of this one, is that when they do these, they're doing these in one continuous take. So this is literally one shot, start to finish.
Mm-hmm.
The last year, the one did. Last year's video got over 200,000 views. They had one, I think it was from 2010, that got like 500,000. I just do this, and this is just kind of fun. There's a high school in Florida that's been doing these for a while now. So I just threw this in there just as something interesting.
Mm-hmm.
What's kind of weird is, you know, normally when they do these, they do like three or four of like the top songs of the school year. And in this case, they actually threw in Spice Girls into the mix for some odd reason.
That seems strange.
That seems more than a little retro.
Yeah.
What Spice Girls song did they do? Did they do Wannabe? Please tell me they did.
Oh, yeah, they did Wannabe.
Of course.
And half the lip dub parts are being done by guys, not girls, which makes it even funnier.
That's kind of awesome.
Yeah. Yeah. Cleveland High School actually has a live, they actually have a website for like their live streaming. And it's apparently the most watched high school stream in the country. Which, Zay would know, Cleveland's not a big town.
No.
You know, I mean, it's 30 minutes, give or take, from Chattanooga, and it's overshadowed by Chattanooga, by Atlanta, by Knoxville. So, a city, you know, mm-hmm. place like that, pulling in that much traffic is pretty impressive.
Yeah, it is, actually.
So, that's just kind of something fun to watch. That's going to be in the show notes.
I mean, it's kind of entertaining. I'm only 2 minutes in, and it's 14 minutes long. I'm going to have to pause it.
Yeah.
I wonder if it will auto like come through this. Whoops. I better not do that right now. All right, I'll watch that later.
Probably a good idea. Well, from streaming video, lip dub, never heard of it described like that, to something that threw me for a loop. Computer scientists develop a video game that teaches how to program in Java.
About
literally,
time.
Literally a game that teaches you how to program in Java. That is freaking cool. I've never tried Java because it gives me a headache. And I have enough of those naturally. Especially with cough drops giving me migraines.
Ugh.
But no, I saw that and it really caught my eye because Java is pretty, I don't want to say big, but it's pretty popular in so much stuff that I don't think any, one out of 10 websites uses it. You
only
have
one
a Java.
Out of 10?
I think 1 out of 10.
The rest use Flash.
Yeah. But that's a huge amount of sites that use Java for their video and or little motion things and whatnot. And it's pretty cool that they're trying to get people to learn how to do it and using a game because games make people make it stick in your brain.
Yeah.
Here it is. How Codespell, the game, works. Codespell's storyline is simple. The player is a wizard arriving in a land populated by gnomes. The gnomes used to have magic, but lost it at some point. The wizard must help them, she or he, write spells in Java. Players have 7 spells available to them, including levitating, flying, and making fire. You can earn badges by undertaking quests. It's a simple game, but it teaches you something that a lot of people could use. Not need to use, but could use. The students were disappointed when they had to stop playing because the test was over. Their interest in the game didn't wane when they made mistakes while writing code. Instead, they used the mistakes as a stepping stone to explore the game's possibilities. Tell me that isn't cool.
That is freaking awesome.
I'll have to check that out.
Yeah, it's... I love things that do this. I love how it's suddenly just... You're learning something at the same time as playing a video game. It's... Mm-hmm. I want more of these. Why can't we have more of these?
And why can't we see your face again?
Because I'm screen sharing like an idiot.
I figured.
Yep. Oh, well, come on. Thank you. Alright, going from... Oh, speaking of innovation, there you go. Finally, a segue. The Center for Food Innovation opens for business. I got this off a website called investinaustralia.com. Go figure. Drew, the Minister for Defence, Science and Personnel. Wow, I'm horrible today. Warren Snowdon. Is that how you say that? Yeah. Today join the Minister for Bass, Jeff Lyons, to launch the Centre for Food Innovation in Launceston, in Tasmania, where they only have two families. I love you, Tasmania, but really, there's a lot of incest going on down there. I find this actually amazing, because now we have a place where we can try new things with food, and that's always a good thing, right? So he's got a question.
Not a question, just a comment, and that was just way too easy, so go on.
No, lay on.
Always good to try new things with food.
We'll leave that one right there.
No, that's okay. Why I said it was too easy.
Alright.
I think you broke Dale again.
Yeah, again. Oh, did she? Oh, no, she didn't.
No, he thought I meant literally.
Oh. Yeah, inside, I'm broken.
Mm-hmm.
Mr. Snowdown said the Australian government had invested $18.7 million into the DSTO Scottsdale facility. $18.7 million. That doesn't seem like a lot.
Well, are they this is specifically for military, for like, I guess, the Australian version of like MREs and stuff like that.
Yeah.
That's what this is for. It's not so much for what you get on your grocery shelf, but it's for, you know, defense forces.
Are they talking about GMOs?
No.
I wish they were, though.
No.
It specifically says here, a preliminary project undertaken under the banner of the Center for Food Innovation is focused on the development of high-pressure processing technologies for increasing the shelf life of pears.
Okay. Yeah, and that is something that MREs and whatnot would be based around. I saw food and agriculture. I'm just like, I don't see anything about GMOs. No, you don't want GMOs. GMOs are bad for you. Sorry.
Against GMOs for, you know, innovating for new food against GMOs. Sorry. Total mind slip. I knew what I meant. I didn't know what I meant. I knew what I was trying to say. And if you want to contact the Mr. Snowdown's office, you can contact... What the fuck? That's not even a name.
No, that's a name.
It is a name.
It's probably one. Lydia.
I want to read it so literally and get it so wrong live on the air. It is so tempting right now.
Yeah, it looks like Lydia.
Lydia?
Lydia.
It looks like Lydia. Ivanovsky.
But you're probably looking at those phone numbers and going, you Australians with your crazy numbers again.
I've been all over the world. I don't care.
That's a 10-digit phone number just like the U.S.
True. John from Seattle in the chat room says, sex plus food equals good stuff. Thank you for that.
Yeah, well, that's where my brain goes. Onward, upward.
Some good show titles in here.
Okay. Well, speaking of, you know, sex and food and pushing the boundaries, a new art exhibit that just opened up is pushing the boundaries of online privacy. Basically, this is an art exhibit that they kind of went through a couple of different places, like Facebook and Google, looking for public, you know, publicly available photos. And kind of made an art, you know, like an art installation out of them. The other thing they did, and this is a little more controversial, people using certain types of file sharing software, like LimeWire, BearShare, or Kazaa. Some people, when they, you know, installed those programs, instead of making just certain folders or certain directories available, left everything on available for sharing. So they went in, you know, anything that was publicly available, like in that file sharing service, and pulled stuff from there. And, you know, so there's some, yeah. You know, and it says the artists say that they didn't feel conflicted about grabbing the photos from private computers. The one guy says these are supposedly private photos, but they're no different than public photos.
No.
In a sense, I'm doing what all photographers do. I take photos.
Yeah, but you aren't going to be allowed to publish photos of somebody without their permission.
Yeah. And that's literally what they're doing.
And just because these people didn't know, most of them didn't know to only share the folder with the files that they're working with. Just because they didn't know that their entire computer was exposed doesn't mean they should have their pictures exposed to the world without their permission.
Yeah, just because somebody didn't set up their software correctly doesn't give somebody else the right to just say, oh, look at this, look at this.
Yeah, because most people don't know that you have to say, only use this file. Don't use these files. That's not the person who owns the computer's fault. That is actually the fault of the program for not saying only these folders. This is the box I want the program to run from.
And of course, those programs did that intentionally.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. I don't doubt that a bit.
I mean, they also, one of these projects they're talking about, because I guess this is one of a series of projects from this set of artists.
Mm-hmm.
One of them actually went so far as to surgically implant a camera into the back of his head.
Ooh.
No,
it's nasty.
They wound up removing it because of infection risk and because his body rejected it. Gee, I wonder why. It was a camera in your friggin' skull.
Yeah.
Come on now,
don't be dumb.
That's just stupid. Plain and simple.
Okay. We teach lessons here on Down Under Colorado all the time, and this week's lesson is do not stick a camera in the back of your head. This week's lesson.
Don't go posting random people's photos in an art gallery.
There you go.
Without clearance.
Right, without permission.
Because that is a bad thing to do.
If I didn't sign a waiver, you're not allowed to put my picture up.
No.
Plain and simple. Yeah, if I didn't sign a waiver, you don't have permission to put my picture anywhere.
And that's why I think Google, with the Hangouts and that sort of thing, does this sort of thing beforehand, going, you do realize this is on the internet, right?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. That's why they do that, is because people can come back and you go, oh, why is my face everywhere?
Because you were on something that says your face is going to be everywhere.
And you tick the box and hit yes. So, there you go.
Yep.
You actually took an action for that, though. That's the difference.
Exactly. Because
you're actually taking an action to allow the use of your likeness, voice, whatever, online.
Exactly.
Whereas in this case, you may not have even known the picture was out there. Or you may have forgotten about it because the picture was taken, 6 years ago.
Exactly.
Yeah, well, the internet has this way of...
shafting people?
Of not shafting people, just having information available to dig up and use against people. I bet if you'd looked really hard on the internet, you could find something about me that you wouldn't want to. That's not a challenge, I'm just saying.
Stockings, what?
Yeah.
Yeah, what, were they pink? I think they were.
Yeah, I think they were.
And that was a neon green dress?
No, I think it was all pink.
No, I thought the pantyhose were a different color.
For those of you who don't follow me on Twitter, it is at the Dale Campbell. Go have fun.
And you can find the picture there.
Yes. I will not put it in the show notes under other links.
Aw, why not?
Well, fine. Say that I have no dignity anyway. What's the difference? Yes, John from Seattle, I was wearing pantyhose once upon a time. Previous life. The things I did before TMS. Not before TMS. Before podcasting. Oh, no, hang on. That still works. I do work for TMS.
Mm-hmm.
Half points. Quarter points.
Well, speaking of unexpected things and reveals, Tortuga's shipwrecked treasure trove reveals artifacts, gold bars from 400-year-old Spanish galleon. I thought this was awesome. I thought this was just really awesome. Deep sea archaeologists from the Florida-based Odyssey Marine Exploration have revealed a veritable treasure trove of important artifacts, loose pearls, gold bars, and silver pieces recovered from the wreck of a 17th century Spanish galleon resting 1,300 feet below the surface near the Florida Keys. They've been looking for this for a while. This has been a big search. It was one of those treasures that the scavengers have been looking for a lot.
Yeah.
And that's, I just think it's awesome. According to the Odyssey Marine Exploration website, researchers studying the artifacts have now concluded that the Tortuga wreck is likely the remains of the 117-ton Buen Jesus Nuestra Señor de Rosario. Got it.
Well done.
One of the vessels sailing with the 1622 Terra Firma treasure fleet bound for Spain, loaded with the wealth of the New World. In other words, the crap they took from the natives. went down in the, with a ship. And that was I just thought that was fantastic.
And oddly enough, the loss of the ship apparently sunk the Bank of Madrid.
Well,
poetic justice.
They shouldn't have been depending on another country's, another native beings' wealth for their survival. Yeah, Spain never recovered. Right.
What's interesting is that the wreck was spotted originally in 1965, but it's not until now that they actually had the equipment capable of getting to it.
That is just cool. I mean, really. This is beautiful. I mean, the pictures are amazing. The five Mexico City and Peruvian silver coins from the Tortuga shipwreck. It's the first picture. That is cool.
Yeah.
I mean, that's just absolutely amazing. And to think that they've been preserved all this time because the ship went down. And it's just, I don't know how, I can only imagine how excited they were about finding this wreck. And I don't mean because of the money they'll get from it. I mean because the simple history, the what they found. It's just amazing. I'm just a weirdo at heart. Don't mind me.
We don't mind you at all.
Page 5, the 27 gold bars were recovered from the shipwreck, and they've got stamps on them. It details, just absolutely amazing.
Yeah, they've got a picture here saying some of the 6,639 Eastern Venezuelan pearls.
Mm-hmm. It's just, what we can find is just awesome. We have the technology to find things that literally have been lost for hundreds and hundreds of years. The history it'll tell us about is just incredible. I love it.
Yes, it looks like the ship went down.
Yeah, these are cool.
I know, sorry, right?
The actual slideshow just loaded for me.
I know, it's dragging for me, but the stamp on one of the gold bars, it actually says Enrada. Enrada.
The teapots and stuff on number 12. Just cool. Oh, I don't know what that picture, the 13th picture is like. What the hell? The plates on 14. These are just cool. And we'll have links in the show notes to all of these to have you peruse over them at your own leisure. And someone's clicking through with you right now. It's probably me. Although number 20, the SERF tool designed to, oh god, I should just stop reading. Anyway, that will be in the show notes, and you can look over that whenever you like.
Yeah, it froze up on me for a second there.
Right there.
Yeah, I think that site and Hangouts don't get along well.
Yeah, people are like, well, you should not do anything while you're hanging out. You should be hanging out.
bite me.
Well, yeah, there we go.
Now, that's just, it's just amazing what they found and how it's all come together. It's just, to me, it's incredible.
Yeah, it is kind of amazing. And yeah, we have one story that's poo-pooing the internet, and this side of it's good because we could actually share. We have the ability to share these artifacts from this early period time.
Mm-hmm. And it's not a collector grabbing it all.
Yeah.
It's everything's being shared, and it's awesome. And Spain doesn't need to get that. Period. If Spain gets that, I will have a fit. Spain does not deserve that. They stole it from the natives.
Yeah. Indeed. Spanish. 300 per, yeah. This is just amazing stuff. I can't stop looking at it. All right. Moving onwards and upwards. That's the second time we've said that in this show, haven't we?
Second time you've said it.
No, Zay said it the first time.
I did.
Yes. Alrighty. Let's do something real quick before we move into what we've been doing as I shake my camera around to actually make it look straight. Redundant much, I know. Anyway... because we have joined a network, the Geek.io network, that means we've acquired some sponsors. Yay for us. I don't know how we've done it, but hey.
Because we're long-winded and they just want to shut us up.
No.
And they want us to have some, they want to break in between our long chat this way and our long chat that way. That's what it is.
Think of it like this.
We're long-winded. It's rant prevention technology.
No, we're long, and they want to make us longer by throwing ads in. There you go.
That's perverted.
That's spoken like a porn star.
All right, whatever. I don't know if they put ads in the middle of the porn. I'm not an expert there.
They do make them longer.
So innocent.
Show title...
They're long, anyway. We want to make them longer, so we'll put ads in.
Yep.
You said that.
Anyway.
Yes. Go on.
This making it longer process is sponsored by Squarespace and Tweaked Audio. Squarespace offer fantastic web design. They offer three plans, the simple, the... I don't know what they're actually called. the simple, the unlimited, and the business plan. The unlimited plan offers unlimited everything, obviously. And the business plan is the same as the unlimited plan, but offers store capabilities. So, you know, your e-commerce and that sort of thing. They have custom designs. And you can do your own stuff in there with CSS and all that fun stuff. If you want to find out more information or if you want to use Squarespace, go to www.geek-io.com/Squarespace. Tweaked Audio, they are amazing earbuds. I actually have some right over there that good friend Brian Ibbett actually sent to me as an intern prize. So yay for me. They come in 7 styles, 7 colors, mic'd, non-mic'd, designed to sound great for music and talk. Yes, we will sound amazing in your ears with these things. Engineered for durability, noise reduction, capable with everything, and best of all, free shipping to anywhere. Use the coupon code GEEK at checkout and get a third off. Third off.
Ooh.
All right, moving on to what we've been doing. Right. I'll start because I like doing that and just barging in over everyone. not much at all, really exciting. apart from midterm exams, which is basically this week, which I need to get my ass into gear, really, and make mm-hmm. sure I actually get everything done rather than just sitting on my ass thinking about doing everything. I heard a dink noise.
I'm still here. Was that you?
Anyway, that's not me. That's Doug turning on Capture, which is a bit scary.
Actually, I didn't turn it on. It came on by itself.
Really? Huh.
Yeah.
Interesting. Alright, I didn't touch anything. For once. Also, I had an interesting client call out on Monday. I can't really say much about it other than I'm still trying to catch up on my own work from it. It was 4 hours out of 4 or 3 hours. Three hours out of my day, which, you know, you just can't make up that sort of thing when you've got a tight schedule.
No.
So it's bullshit. And it's something they could have done by themselves. They didn't even need me, so dealing with all that type of people trying to interrupt me and get in my way. We know all about people getting in the way, hence that's why last week's episode didn't happen.
Right. That's all right, though. I still blame North Korea.
Yeah.
Now they're Adams. Allegedly threatening to launch a nuke at South Korea tomorrow.
Yeah, it won't happen. They just got the technology. They're not going to throw away what they've got.
True. They're planning to drop an atom on North
America. As long as it's not Steve, we're good.
What? All right. Okay. That is a reference I don't get. I like it, though. Well,
they're talking about dropping an atom bomb.
Yeah.
80 a.m.,
Doug, what have you been doing?
Shoveling snow.
Well, I have not.
Last week it looked like breakup was finally here. Yeah, the roads were clear. You know, the roads were at the point where they were dry. Not just, you know, melted snow and junk on them. Then we got about 8 inches of snow on Saturday. A brief break on Sunday, and then another 8+ inches yesterday. So, really annoying, especially when I had, you know, I just had everything finally shoveled down to, you know, down to the walkway, down to the driveway, and then it kicks in. So it's starting all over again, like I hadn't done anything. And then last night I watched the NCAA championship game. For the first time ever, I picked the champion right. The rest of my bracket was dead after the first weekend.
Yeah.
Yeah. Normally what happens is I get, like, the first weekend really good, the round of 16 really good, and then it goes to hell on me. This year it went to hell on me on Friday of the first weekend, of the first round, actually. And then I got the champion right for once, so.
Well, getting the champion right is good for something, right?
Usually the way they do it is like 1 point for first round games, 2 points, 4 points, and then it's like 64 points for the championship.
Mm-hmm.
So yeah, it's so if you do it on a point based system, it's good. If you do it just on correct guesses, you know, where everything's worth a point.
Yeah.
Not so much because of how many misses I had earlier.
Oh, so pretty much you broke even ish.
I honestly don't know. I did so bad after the first weekend that I never even went back to look at where I was in the bracket standings. If that tells you anything.
That's not good. So, what else?
That's about it.
Well, here we had the threat of a blizzard last night to the point that schools shut down. Works were saying you don't come in for 2 hours, for the first 2 hours of your shift. Everything was... We had 10 different weather anomalies hitting us at once today. Apparently, not so much. We got a little bit of snow, which I'll put the link in the to my picture in the show notes. But we most of it was wind, really. It was pretty bad wind, actually. Pueblo, the Harley-Davidson place pretty much got blown apart. Not completely, but it's pretty devastated from all the wind. Here, I was worried about things flying around because it was that windy.
Yeah.
Thankfully, our balcony is in like a little... we've got a wall here, our wall, and then... The rest of the building goes this way. But we have an overhang on both pieces. And for some reason, it creates a little windshield type thing. So it's not quite as windy on the balcony as it is out further. I'm just glad. Because it would be really, really bad. We would have lost stuff off the balcony.
Anything else?
Bronchitis sucks.
Well, we all knew that.
Now, I've been dealing with it for the last week and a half. And I'm finally able to... I got some sleep last night for a change. Just call me Wheezy.
Speaking of.
And didn't get to mention last week, but I have been approved to go back to work. I just have to get things like fingerprints done, the DOT physical, which I couldn't pass if I can't breathe, a set of pictures, and the background check, and the license itself, all which cost under $200, which is good. But once I get all those, I go into the cab company and say, here's my license, and they say, get in a car.
Wow.
That's pretty much it.
Yeah, well, that's good that you've been approved to go back to work. It's like, I remember you having a rant on how much of a pain in the ass...
Yellow.
Yellow.
Yeah, that was bullshit. And even the Springs people were like, are you kidding? And I said, basically because I didn't kiss ass, the rehire manager doesn't want me back. I'm not going to kiss anyone's ass. I didn't do anything wrong. I came to a full stop. She was the one who lost control of her car. I could not have done anything more than what I did. Given the situation. Thinking back, maybe I could have changed something, but who knows? Hindsight's 20/20. So, yeah. And then now we get to deal with Nate's ex telling Nate that he needs to take his son because his son is out of control. And I told Nate, did you tell her that once the paperwork is through, the finalized, on her not getting child support anymore, then we'll do it? Because she wants to have the boy and not get child support taken away. I kid you not. This woman told Nate's parents, you can have custody of Zachary but I still want child support. I'm not kidding.
That's not gonna fly.
Well, Nate told her the last time that she said it, something about him taking custody, and he told her, well, when I get the paperwork cleared, well, when you get the paperwork cleared and I get confirmation of you not getting child support anymore, we'll be happy to take him.
Child support, that's the worst thing in the world.
He came home Thursday night and said, I need to take my son. Well, this is nice to know. And so we had a little discussion, and I said, number one, I doubt he's being as bad as she says he is. Well, it's not her saying it, it's her boyfriend. Number one, I doubt he's being as bad as she says he is because she's telling her boyfriend what's going on. And I'm betting she's telling the boyfriend a load of crap.
Yeah.
And so I said, number two, you told her, and you need to stick to it, that until the child support case is dropped, guess what's not happening? So he stuck to that, and she came up with a compromise.
We get to have
him on weekends, and she will have him through the week. This is going to cause a small problem because Nate works Friday night, Saturday night, and Sunday from 1 until 10, from 1 in the afternoon until 10 in the, at night.
Right.
How are we going to take care of his son when I work from 4 p.m. to 4 a.m.? That's the shift I take. I'm on the road. I'm out the door by 3:30. I'm on that road for 12 hours solid, if not more. How am I supposed to help him take care of his son when...
You're both at work.
Basically, we're gone most of the time. And when we're not, he's sleeping.
Well, yeah, catching up on sleep. I do the same
thing. Friday morning...
When I can.
Yeah, Friday morning, he sleeps until usually 4 in the afternoon because he doesn't get home until 5-ish, unwinds until 6 or 7, and goes to bed.
Yep.
Well, he can get up in time to go get his son from school, but that's at 3:10. He picks his son up at 3:10, then has to be ready for work by 8:15. And then he sleeps until at least noon the next day, and then goes to work at night, and then has to take his son back to his mom's on his way to work at 1 in the afternoon the next day. So I don't understand how he expects this to work when I'm not going to be here. And I'll be damned if I'm going to let him tell Joe he needs to help.
Yeah. No, yeah, don't. Actually, tell him to not help, because it's not his problem.
No, and Joe isn't a kid person. He really isn't. I'm not, but at least I know how to take care of him.
True. Oh, dude, but, that sucks.
So, yeah, and this stupid cow, I swear to gods, she really needs to not have bread. She white trash is putting it mildly. Then again, this is the woman who screamed at her own son that she wanted him out. So...
Does the word hypocrite actually come in the...
I don't.
That's too putting it nicely.
That's putting it nicely. It's not a hypocrite. She's a money-grubbing whore.
There you go. And that's probably still putting it nicely.
Well, yeah, there's so much going on there, and he feels bad for his son, and I do too, but we cannot allow either of them to railroad us.
Yeah. I mean, you've got to do what you have to do.
Mm-hmm.
It's not your problem, realistically.
Well, it is because I'm with Nate, and it's Nate's problem, and it's just the way it is. But I'm also not going to let her use us as a babysitter when she wants the weekends off. That's all there is to it. She can't even get him to school. What the hell does she want the weekends off for? No, the courts have taken her, the child support people and the school has taken her to court because the boy has missed already 20 days of school. Well, more than 20. But they won't put her in jail because she has a younger... excuse me. A younger child. Anyway, enough of that. That is what I've been dealing with. That is the awesomeness of my 2 weeks.
Your 2 weeks. Yeah, we haven't... yeah, we haven't talked since 2 weeks. It's scary. Not scary, but... anyway. Fun. Alright, let's wrap this thing up. Are we at that point already? Like, crap.
How long have we been on? Yeah, it's 10 after 6. It's 10 after 6.
Oh. There you go. And I'm waiting for someone to start reading their script. When they're ready. Of course. When they're having a coughing fit. I know, I'm not rushing you, I'm just saying. For audio listeners, she just gave me the finger across the internet.
Awesomeness of cameras.
That's just the first time you've actually seen her give you the finger across the internet.
Thank you for that.
Now, where you can find the show. If you have any questions, topics, feedbacks, complaints, or anything at all, send your email to downundercolorado@gmail.com. Or comment to our Twitter at twitter.com/DUCOshow.
All of our episodes, complete with full show notes, are over at downundercolorado.blogspot.com, where you can also subscribe to the podcast. You will be notified automatically when a new show comes out.
As always, you can give us a call at 719-445-6696. That's for the U.S. only. And +617-310-32528 for Aussies. Or you can Skype our awesome little Dale over there at Chef Wonder if you have anything cool to add.
Down Under Colorado are members of Geek.io and the Chef Wonder Podcast Network. The Chef Wonder stuff at Geek.io can be found at geek-io.com/Chef Wonder, and the Chef Wonder Chef Wonder can be found at chefwonderpodcasts.blogspot.com. Also, you can find all of the Chef Wonder media programming on YouTube at youtube.com/users/chefwonderdc, where you can find us as well as Rough Cuts, the music review podcast. And where you can find us.
You were pausing too much, damn it.
And where you can find... I'm tired. Leave me alone. It's I haven't warmed up yet. It's only 10 o'clock. Where you can find us. You can find me on Twitter at twitter.com/TheDaleCampbell, where you can find cool pictures of me in pantyhose.
You can find me on Twitter at TNTOAK. It's also listed right down there at the bottom of the screen.
And you can find me at twitter.com/InkedZay.
And that's going to do it for us this week. Any closing words of wisdom or thoughts?
Summer can't get here soon enough.
Condoms are your friend.
Winter is coming. All right, everyone. Thank you for joining us, and we'll see you all next week. Bye. Insert this here so I can edit it out, and there you go. Alright, thank you for watching, John from Seattle, the only live listener that we had. Thank you very much for watching. So I'm going to end broadcast.